You know, I think there's something in us that does not like to hear the harsh words of Jesus. You think I have come to bring peace. I've come to bring fire, division. A lot of what Jesus shares with us is paradoxical. It seems to contradict on the surface. I mean, indeed, Jesus did come to bring peace on earth. But to accomplish that in a sinful world, there has to be a sorting out of things. Decisions, unpleasant decisions, have to be made. There's going to be a judgment day. And we just want to hear the nice, good stuff. We want to come to church and feel good all the time without dealing with the serious kinds of things. And I guess that particular day, Jesus was just a little frustrated about how people just wanted to take all of the good things and miss the big picture. And so he made a kind of statement that we don't like to hear. But you see, there's judgment and division in everything we do. I thought the opening ceremonies of the Olympics was kind of artsy, philosophical. Did many of you watch that Friday night? I probably wouldn't have if I had not chosen as my sermon title, Spiritual Olympians. But I said, well, I probably ought to tune in since I've chosen that theme with the Olympics starting. Kind of thought-provoking. Like I said, kind of artsy. But you know, it's always a celebration. Hundreds of thousands of people gather together. And that torch lighting the Olympic flame. People who will spend literally thousands and thousands of dollars to attend such an event. And when it comes right down to it, it's all about judgment and divisions. Think of the thousands, thousands of athletes worldwide who have worked so hard and struggled to qualify for the Olympics, and how many missed it by just a fraction of a second in this race or that. And then people all around the world go and compete in the Olympics, and there will only be one gold medal winner per event. Now, there's a silver and a bronze, and there's certainly no shame in that. But three out of thousands is a decision about judgments, division, and singling out those who are the best in the world. And every 4 years, we have a Summer Olympics and a Winter Olympics to make those kinds of decisions. Every year, we have a Super Bowl decide who's the best of all of the football teams. We have a World Series to decide who's the best of the baseball teams. Life is filled with times of decision and division. But how do we deal with that spiritually? Well, unfortunately, the church has a lot of judgments and decisions being made and a lot of division. But it's not because God wants that here. That's because of our cantankerous nature. The reality is, according to the scripture I want to focus on this morning, from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Paul says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. You see, there were Olympic athletic events in Paul's day. He was using that to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has placed us in the world into a competition to live life on a new scale, on a new standard, based on a new outlook of life. And we're to run the race of life faithful to God in Christ Jesus. So he invites us, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks again about the athletic metaphor for the faith. Do you not know that in a race all of the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath or a gold medal. But we run the race for that which is imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating in the air, but I pummel my body and I subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. That we need to be spiritual athletes if we're to be Christians. It seems like we shy away from the concept of discipleship. You know, I've been here 4 years, and I really haven't found a great enthusiasm for people to be disciples, because you know why? It carries the same demands of being a serious athlete. And we're lazy people. That we've got to approach our spirituality, our discipleship, as an athlete approaches their goal, whatever their field of endeavor is. We have got to exercise spiritually. We have to have a routine. We have to push ourselves sometimes beyond our limits if we're going to win the race. And we don't want to make that kind of effort. If you're an athlete, you have to go to competitions. Think of the parents that cart their children around all over town as they're growing up, from little ones to be in soccer leagues and football leagues and baseball and softball leagues. There's a discipline there, and it pretty much requires the effort of the whole family to accomplish it. And then they get older and they're in high school, and think of being on a soccer team and the work you have to do and the times you don't want to be out there working and sweating and going through the basics. Oh, gee, we got to do these drills again. Just think of the blood and sweat that you put out playing football. I remember John would come home from football and from soccer, and you know, he'd be walking up the steps in his socks, and I'd see the blood on the back of his legs. There's a price to be paid to be an athlete. And God's calling us to be spiritual Olympians. Another name for disciples, and yet we avoid it because it demands so much of us. Are we running the race with perseverance that God has set before us as his people? Paul tells us in Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. There is a spiritual Olympian. And we don't even show up for trials. How can we possibly run with perseverance the race that is set before us. When it comes to church, we don't seem like we're in a race. When it comes to volunteering to serve, there doesn't seem to be a rush of people to get in on an opportunity to serve. It seems like we move forward with great, great reluctance. But Paul is saying the Christian journey is like a race, and God has set a race before us, and we've decided to be spectators in the stands. Now, I'm sure that it must be a thrilling experience to be in the stands in Greece this week. There must be a kind of energy in that kind of setting that's amazing. I've never been to an Olympic event. I've only been to one professional football game, and it seemed like people were more interested in celebrating and drinking beer and getting drunk than they were on what's happening in the field. Maybe it's just a big party. And the Olympics is just an opportunity to have a big party. And the party's going on in the stands with the spectators and the people on the sidelines. But they never, never get into the game. They never get on the track. They never step on the playing field. They never get the thrill of scoring a goal like Mia Hamm did the other day in playing against Greece. What is it about us that we don't even get into the race? And we only watch one if we're in a particular mood. Because you see, in God's race to make a difference in this world, you don't have to have a beautifully conditioned body. I'm certainly a prime example of that. But you've got to have a beautifully conditioned heart that wants to serve and love God. You don't have to be particularly young or particularly strong physically, but you have to have a heartfelt desire to know and live for God, to be a spiritual Olympian. And you know, theoretically, those who've known about Christ the longest in terms of years ought to be the greatest spiritual Olympians in the church, but we know that's not true either. We just have to have a heart for Christ. We've got to put as much in spiritually as an athlete puts in physically and mentally every other way to be a winner. And in this race, we can all be winners. We all receive a gold medal. We all have a wreath placed upon our heads. And yet, we sit in the stands and on the sidelines. We're armchair quarterbacks and coaches on how things ought to be done, and we never enter the game of life. Friday and Saturday, I was attending a post-adoption conference sponsored by the state. Money must be freeing up. They're having conferences again. That's the first thing that goes in a budget crunch. No conferences. So this was a beautiful conference. There were about 600 people there who had adopted children, with adopted children attending the event as well. Many of these children came out of our welfare system and were adopted into homes. There were workshops for the adults. There were planned activities for the children. I was invited to go to be a part of the faith and represent the faith community. And you know, this was a state-sponsored event, and I heard more God talk in 2 days there than I hear sometimes in this church. I mean, we have our prayers before our meetings, and we close our meetings with prayer. But do we include God in what we're doing and planning? But I heard Bill Scarlett from our social services stand up and talk a lot about God Friday night. About God's purposes for our lives and God's purposes working through those adults who decided to adopt welfare children. And God working and changing the lives of those children. I heard a lot of God talk at a government-sponsored conference. I went into workshops and heard people talking about God making a difference in their lives. I met an African-American woman and an African-American woman from Durham. I monitored as a volunteer their workshop. And they were teaching about Christian behavior and Christian parenting in a state-sponsored workshop. You see, these are people who are running the race with perseverance that was set before them. They don't just wait till they get at church to talk about God. They are involved in God's mission in life every day, and they're bold enough to stand up even in a government-sponsored event and talk about a mighty God who can change people's lives. One thing I hate about going to conferences like that, staying in hotels. And the thing I hate most about hotels, and this was a nice hotel, I mean, fancy room, but I tell you what, I hate those water savers in the showers. You get in that shower, and you're planning to take a nice shower, and I got a lot of body to cover with water, and out comes this puny stream of water. And you just sort of look up at it, hoping it's going to get bigger, but it doesn't. Because they got those little water savers in there. They don't want to waste any water. But you think, you know, I think we've got too many people that are part of the church that's got a faith saver stuck in them somewhere. And the dog, if you're going to get too much faith, ooze out of them any place, church or elsewhere. When God wants to shower His love on a world desperately in need, are you running the race with perseverance that God has set before you? Or are you just saving up that faith for who knows what? Let us pray. Gracious Father, in a world that sees so much trouble, pain, sorrow, sickness, suffering, we need people who decided to be an active part of the game of life. Life in the kingdom. A life of witness and hope. A life of enthusiasm for what you can do, how you can change and transform not only our lives, but the world in which we live that certainly needs that change so desperately. Thank you for those who are running the race. And move those of us who sit on the sidelines and in the bleachers, or who occasionally turn on the TV to watch it third hand, to get involved in the race to make a difference in this world, to build your kingdom, and to live to the praise of your glory. We ask your blessings upon us as we seek to run the race with perseverance that you have set before us, your people. Amen.